I love a story. And the true story of a person's life is a beautiful thing. I'm so lucky that my job is listening to people's stories. I walk into a person's room in the hospital, past all the medical equipment, and I sit alongside someone and I listen as they invite me into their life. People do share sacred things, scary things, and huge things sometimes, but they often share ordinary things, very human things, very small things. And just to be clear, some people do tell me to go away, or they say they're feeling too ill to talk, or that they just don't want to. And it's absolutely their right to do so. I also love that I get to spend time with some of you guys and hear your stories too. They're so precious. Last week we finished John chapter 13. At church camp we spoke about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And then last week we sat with Jesus' beautiful words that the world will know that we are his followers by our love for each other. He also has these two standout interactions with Judas and Peter. These two disciples who he knows so well that he even knows how they're going to betray and deny him at his most difficult time. I do think it is just so stunning that knowing this, he knelt before them and washed their feet. What a picture of love and forgiveness that Jesus showed in advance. There's an artist who has done a series of pictures of Jesus washing people's feet. And it's not very clear, but I think that the artist is going to be at Easter camp. So it's him washing Judas's feet. I absolutely loved last week's service. And I've thought about it over and over through the week. I wish we had the whole thing recorded so that you could go back and listen to it and sit with it. And if you weren't there, and you do have a chance, then Sean's message from last week will be on the website. He told the spectacular story of great love shown by a Rwandan woman whose name is Iphigenia, who forgives and loves her neighbour and his family after they inflict horrific pain and loss on her. And then during the service, Jill invited Kay and Yulia and Vivian to reflect on three questions about love, and they each shared so beautifully and profoundly from their own lives. And then Lisa shared on Barstool a memory of being in a cathedral choir in South Africa where Desmond Tutu was archbishop, and reflected on his love and joy. And I was thinking, these are a couple of quotes of his. Forgiveness is nothing less than the way we heal the world. We heal the world by healing each and every one of our hearts. The process is simple, but it is not easy. And then he said another thing. There is nothing that cannot be forgiven. Then there is no one undeserving of forgiveness. So this week I've been thinking about these precious stories that were shared of beautiful love shown by ordinary people and some extraordinary ones too. In our series of encounters of people's encounters with Jesus in John's Gospel, we're skipping ahead a few chapters now in the lead up to Easter, and we will go back and catch those chapters we've missed later in the year. And we're hearing this outworking of Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial. One of the most compelling things I find in this gospel is the humanity of the disciples. I do smile each time John describes himself as the disciple who Jesus loved. And I wonder if the other disciples rolled their eyes each time they heard this. And I absolutely love Peter and his intensity, impulsiveness, and ability to absolutely get it and absolutely not get it. He tries so hard and wanted to be a good friend to Jesus. And in this passage, we see one of Peter's most devastating screw-ups. I read a line in a Kate Bowler blessing that has sat with me, and it says, how you are pleading with us to love as your friends break your heart. And we see this, don't we, as Jesus kneels before Judas and washes his feet, knowing full well the betrayal and denial that is to come. Just for a moment, imagine you were Peter. You've just said that you didn't know Jesus for a third time, and you hear that rooster crow. Can you remember a time that you've done something that has hurt someone else? I remember the moment I realize what I have done and this kind of sick feeling washes over my body. And then all these feelings of guilt and shame fill me up. I can't sleep. I can't think of anything else. I feel absolutely terrible. Part of me wants to rush off and try and fix it as soon as possible. Part of me wants to hide from the world forever and never leave my house. Part of me wants to die. It feels so unbearable. And can you imagine Peter feeling that feeling and then walking through the next few days? It must have been just so unbearable. And then for Judas, the realization is so huge and the devastation is so overwhelming that he takes his own life. Padraig O Tuama writes a beautiful prayer that says, "Judas, sainted scapegoat, when you saw that your friend was condemned, you repented and ended yourself. We pray for all those who are on the edges of themselves. We pray that they may not be alone. We pray that they may not betray their deepest dignity. Because God gathers all in the bowels of the beloved." And I imagine that even after he had died, that Judas was gathered in God's love and held in that place of pain and somehow is restored. We all mess up our relationships, be they with partners and friends, work colleagues, classmates, or family members. We all hurt each other. And so I'm sure you can imagine this feeling that Peter and Judas feel to some extent. We're all so human. And I'm so glad we can read about this humanness in our sacred text, alongside the times that Peter goes on to lead the church with wisdom and speak with clarity and passion in his leadership. Because we are heading to a beautiful conversation between Peter and Jesus on a beach at breakfast time, when Jesus forgives and restores all that was broken when Peter denied him. And that is our story, and that is our hope. Forgiveness and restoration is the outworking of our love and our lives trying to follow Jesus. And that is our hope somehow for this world too. The power of a story is that we can find ourselves in it and learn from one another. And the reality of most stories is that they are about ordinary people in ordinary lives that are often broken, messy, and complex. People like you and me. People like Judas and Peter. And as we sit with these stories over this week, can I encourage us to hold on like Peter did, through all the pain and guilt and shame, because we have the hope of restoration, forgiveness, and wholeness. And sometimes in our stories, sometimes we catch a glimmer of hope or love or courage or forgiveness that takes our breath away. And we see the restoring and hope-filled love of Christ infiltrate the moment. Iphigenia from Rwanda sharing a meal with her neighbours, sitting at a table with the man who killed her children, and that Sean shared last week was one of those moments. For me this week, it was sitting with a husband and wife who are in their 80s in hospital. The husband has dementia and the wife sleeps in a very uncomfortable hospital chair next to his bed, but because it calms him to have someone there that he knows when he gets agitated and confused. And they share with me the ups and downs of a very ordinary life at a moment of profound pain and struggle for them, all while living this incredible love. I wanted to make time for us and steal from Jill, but use the questions that Jill asked last week to reflect on so we can share together. So Jill's questions were to share a memory you have of being loved, and then think about what is something that inhibits showing love and what is something that encourages showing love. We're going to take some time to think about our answers to these questions and then to share your thoughts with two or three people, just little groups of people. We've got about 15, 20 minutes that we can share together. So we can all break up and you can introduce yourselves to someone if you haven't met them before. But maybe you can share together a memory and something that inhibits love that you notice and something that enhances love, encourages it. And then we will have time to share on Barstool later if you're wanting to share more. Do you think we can do that? And you can break up into groups. I'll leave the questions up there.